respond in our faith to when tragedy strikes, especially that when we've seen the tragedy of Uvalde and some of the gun violence we've been having across this nation. Today on Life Talks, we're going to be digging into those issues. As you know, I'm Ben. I'm here with Dan. We are the teaching pastors at Life Fellowship Church. And Dan, this is an interesting conversation because, you know, I would say that Christians in America have a much different view of firearms and guns than most of the world. Would you not agree with that?
Oh, without a doubt. The culture of firearm ownership in America is unique worldwide.
Yeah. So you know, as we discuss these things today, just know that this is a conversation, and maybe we've got the Second Amendment, we've got all these things happening, but the reality is, how do we as Christians filter some of these issues that are going on in our world today, and what should a Christian think about gun rights, gun laws, Second Amendment? I think it's a legitimate question to have, because I think sometimes whenever you see tragedies like this, like we saw in Uvalde, there is a lot of soul checking going on. And as Christians, I think we need to have a clear biblical response to these kinds of events. So just walk me through, when these kinds of tragedies happen, what's the first thing that we as followers of Jesus need to keep in mind?
Well, I think the first thing we ought to be reminded of is that there is a brokenness in the world that is a spiritual brokenness that will result in these and many other tragedies. These tragedies are shocking, and these in particular because they involve children. But sin is always destructive. Sin is always robbing, stealing, murdering. It is always marring the perfection that God intended it for us to originally possess.
Yeah.
And so we have to take it from that perspective. But at the same time, we also need to be really, really careful about responding emotionally and prematurely, and even at times over-spiritualizing or under-spiritualizing our response to tragedy. This is a complex one, and one of the reasons why we wanted to do it is because it is complex. And I'll tell you, Ben, I can argue both cases intellectually. At the same time, up front, I'm a gun owner, have been, firearms have been a part of my life. I'm a big proponent of the Second Amendment. I have a degree in history. I understand the origins of the Second Amendment. And I also understand the complications that creates for this current situation. I also fundamentally reject the idea that removing guns from the equation would solve the problem.
Okay, can I just stop right, explain that? Because I think when we hear these kinds of things, the first thing is we've got to get guns out of the hands of these people who are mentally unstable.
Yeah, to me, part of the response is, we have to do something.
And that's what you're hearing. The chanting, you gotta do something.
You gotta do something.
Yeah.
Well, something is only helpful if it actually resolves the core issue. And I would challenge, and it needs to be thoughtfully approached. If I thought removing all guns would end murder, I'd be all for it, even in spite of the First Amendment or Second Amendment. But in the end, I'm not convinced that we're asking the right questions up front. For instance, I see no discussion at all in the media about the potential that our other media influences have on the mentalities of these people who are picking up guns and murdering people. And by the way, as tragic and as horrific as it is for, 19 people to be killed or 17 people, or for it to be racially motivated, to be directed toward children, every weekend there are children being murdered in their beds by guns, by knives, by boyfriends who are beating. There's the fact that they happened all at once in what was supposedly a safe, but what's more safe than a kid's bed?
Yeah.
It inflames us, it infuriates us, and it ought to give us if it doesn't bother us, there's something wrong,
right?
We're broken.
Yeah.
There ought to be a visceral response to it. At the same time, we can't let emotion overrule, first of all, the rule of law that exists in this country, but also asking the hard and the difficult questions. I want somebody in the media and somebody on the left to ask the questions like, what is the influence of kids who are growing up with World of Warcraft and violence in video games. I want to know, I accidentally on my Sirius radio, you know, my pocket sometimes does things to my phone. I was listening to Sirius, my regular station, and it clicked to it. An urban rap station. And I got to tell you, I hadn't listened to that before. And I all of a sudden are hearing...
Are you kidding me? You don't listen to urban rap, Dan?
I heard words of violence toward women and terms being used about women that absolutely I've never heard anybody use. And this is entertainment. I mean, I listened to it for about 3 minutes just because I was so shocked that and when you take an entire generation listening to that, what are the implications of some of the things that we've imposed upon adolescents and what is the implications of pornography and the desensitizing? There are questions that are not being asked at all, that before we take away people's guns, I think a fair hearing says we've got to ask all the questions, even the ones that we need. People are saying, well, it's First Amendment to be able to play these games or whatever. Well, we're talking about the Second Amendment and taking guns away. So if we're talking about amendments, let's put them all on the table.
Yeah, I think we do need to have a more holistic conversation, because at the heart of all of it, and you know, the pro gun rights are going to say it's you know, guns don't kill people, people kill people,
that's really cliche.
But that's what they're saying. But I think that one of the things that we're saying is there is something going on in the heart of that individual that is spurring them on to do this horrible, sinful thing, this wicked, evil thing. And so what you're saying is, what are the other forces that are at work within our nation that are allowing that to happen? I mean, we don't understand. I'm not sure if there's ever been a true study done on the on people's psyche through the military or the weapons of video games. It has to desensitize at some level. Well, the aspect of killing.
We know this. I have a son who's a Marine.
Yeah.
In every common area in the military, what do they put? Violent video games and PS5s and so forth. They're encouraged. Why? Because it teaches them muscle memory. It teaches them reflex. It teaches them, it desensitizes them to this. So that, you know, that's what you want when you've got a military guy busting into a room with bad guys. Mm-hmm. You want quick action and deadly kills. So if the military is smart enough to realize the power of that, why aren't parents, you know?
Well, and that's something... I know we're kind of getting into the video game realm, but this was even something in my own home. And again, I don't know if I did everything right as a dad in this, but I always had the rule, no M-rated video games.
Yeah.
I just didn't. Now, I'm not saying that my kids didn't have shooting video games, because they did. Most of them were like, you know, Star Wars or something like that. But they're still guns. But it was like, there are video games out there that are so graphic in nature. Mm-hmm. That it has to do something to desensitize you to the taking of or the sacredness of life.
Yeah.
But even beyond that, Dan, what I would say is another aspect of this is we've been teaching kids for generations that they have no value, that there's no image of God in you or anyone else, that they're just cells and they're just animals, and therefore we've almost lost the ideal or the Christian value of the sacredness of life.
Yeah, and then there's also the mentality going out in a blaze of glory, which, you know, so a lot of these guys commit suicide in the very end. They don't want to take as many with them. Yeah. I mean, there is that rebellious nature. And we do know physiologically that, you know, young men before the age of 26 have some impulse control issues that are part of immaturity.
Absolutely.
There's another issue, though, that I want to bring up. And one of our listeners actually sent us an email that kind of brought about this conversation. There is now a growing voice emerging among evangelical Christians that is running counter to the argument that says, well, this is a Second Amendment right that we have to keep and bear arms. And as Christians, we should not be talking about rights. And in fact, for the good of the community, for the good of society, Christians have no rights. We've been bought with a price. We are, you know, we're bond servants, slaves, literally, to Christ, that we shouldn't be promoting rights at all, and particularly rights that have the potential to harm other people. And so there is a growing voice from left-leaning, but in, even in some cases more moderate, not, mm-hmm. I wouldn't even call them left-leaning, but moderate left voices at evangelicals that are starting to raise this question. And I think that's one of the reasons why our friend sent an email to us, said, why don't you guys discuss this? And I think that's an important thing to realize as well. And so that's kind of where, you know, it is worthy of in-depth conversation. Should a Christian be resistant to efforts on gun control mm-hmm. with the argument that it is about my rights, whether it's your right to protect your family right, or your right under the Constitution?
Yeah.
And so I think that we need to be very careful. When it comes to the right to self-protection and to protect my family, you know, there's the just war theory. Mm-hmm. There is the idea that we as Christians are not bound to turn the other cheek when someone is intent on doing a greater harm. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing to get slapped. It's another thing to get shot.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't have time in this broadcast to go through the just war theory, though I would say that many of the wars in which the United States is in fact engaged would violate many of the principles of just war theory.
Yeah.
But in the end, there is that argument that could be made. I tend to reject it on two grounds. First of all, three. One, I don't think it would be effective to take the guns away. It's not mm-hmm. going to solve the problem. It's just going to make us more vulnerable. Secondly, I do believe that we have individual responsibility before God on how we respond to liberty, mm-hmm. to freedom. And so this becomes a personal issue mm-hmm. for each of us. This may be an issue which I can sincerely disagree with others, like whether or not to eat meat or whether or not mm-hmm. to observe the Sabbath mm-hmm. or whatever. So if a gun offends you, then I would encourage you not to engage, but don't prevent me from mm-hmm. doing that.
Mm-hmm.
The third thing is sometimes there's the wrong way to do a right thing. So let's assume for the sake of argument that taking guns would solve the problem. Mm-hmm. Passing legislation is unconstitutional because it is a right. If we can do that for guns possession, then we can do that for speech and religion. So if you say, well, only certain guns are permitted, then when we can, if that's legal under our Constitution, then it is also to say then only certain language is constitutional or certain religions are constitutional.
Yeah.
So, but there is a way to fix that. The way to fix that is to abolish the Second Amendment. Now, the fact of the matter is there is no way on God's green earth in this time in history that we're going to abolish the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
The bar is high, which is why they set the bar high. It should be high.
Yeah.
But the reality is they want to take a shortcut. And the shortcut is to get activist judges to make decisions that mm-hmm. reinforce their political ends. And that's always a dangerous thing to do constitutionally.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you don't like the amendment, then get a constitutional amendment passed. First, you have to do it in Congress by two-thirds.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to – then two-thirds of the states have to approve it.
Yeah.
The Constitution's been approved, 20-some-odd times it's been changed.
Yeah.
So it is possible. But it requires the will of the people.
Yeah. I do think that when it comes to, like, I know some of the ideas or laws that are being passed is, you know, let's get rid of all of assault rifles, or at least raising the age limit. But here's also what I know, and again, you and I are just two pastors, mm-hmm. and we know that there's going to be pro-gun, anti-gun people in our church. So again, we are not making this an issue of faith, but I also know human nature, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if we abolished every single AR-15 or anything else, any of those kinds of firearms, any assault weapons, what they consider assault weapons, because really there's a lot of things that you can use for assault. But if they abolish those, here's what I know: the bad guys would still get their hands on them.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, and that's why I relate this issue a lot to. When I talk to other guys about pornography or sexual issues, that I say there's always two things that are really important: fences and wells. Because the fences is, hey, I'm going to get, I'm going to put some software on my phone. I'm going to do this. There's some things I'm going to put around myself that doesn't make it, I can't access it, or at least I can't access it easily. But here's what I know: for the guys who really want to look at porn, mm-hmm. they're going to find a way to look at porn.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's not just a matter of putting fences around. You have to dig wells. And the way I describe wells is that place where you get the replenishment, the living water of mm-hmm. Jesus. If you just this is what laws do. Unfortunately, the idea is if we just put laws in place, it's going to change the heart. It can't change the heart. And that's why some of these other issues we've talked about, whether it's video games or the idea of what is a human? Mm. Are we made in the image of God? Or are we just a bunch of cells that are animals that have evolved? I think there is something that we have to recognize that we could put all the fences up in the world. If we don't deal with the heart of men and women, they're going to keep doing these. It's going to still happen. I promise you, if tomorrow they banned every assault rifle on the face of the planet, there would be another school shooting within a year. Mm-hmm. The reason I know that is because the people who are wicked and evil will break the laws and break through the fences to find the weapon they want to do the evil and wicked thing. And that's what I think we need to understand. I'm not saying that, you know, changing laws. I know there's a group of senators on both sides that are trying mm-hmm. to put some quote unquote common sense things in place. And again, I have my own personal opinion on some of those things. I do think there's some good things that could come out of this. I do think the whole mental health issue is a major issue that no one's really talking about. And I think that's important to discuss. But I do think that if all of our focus is the fences and we don't address the wells, it's going to keep happening.
Right.
And then they're going to keep trying to clamp down and make the fences tighter and tighter and tighter. And it's just going to keep happening because the solution is not in fences. Yeah. The solution has to be a transformed heart and mind. And as believers in Jesus Christ, that's always our hope. And you can make all the laws in the world you want. It doesn't change the heart of people. And I think that's the number one thing we've got to remember in this time.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, there is a correlation between things like rise in school shootings and so forth that goes with the spiritual decay. I mean,
absolutely.
When you see that, it is obviously there. One of the things I would urge, though, because mostly people listening to us would be believers, mm-hmm. and I'm going to offer a couple of challenges as we kind of close out here. One of these things is, I think we need to be very, very cautious about the right, and I don't like some of the people that are screaming this the loudest, but I think they have somewhat of a point. We need to be really, really careful about Christian nationalism.
Absolutely.
Where we're 100%. Wrapping the traditions of our country, which I think in many cases are very, very good, and I'm for them.
Yeah.
But when we wrap them in the Word of God, or when we wrap the Bible in a flag, so to speak, I think we're doing something very, very dangerous.
Yeah. The Second Amendment does not equal the Word of God.
Yeah.
If you're more passionate about the Second Amendment than the Word of God— you've got to check your heart.
Yeah.
I just use a Christian cliche. I cannot believe
check
I
your heart.
Dan, I just use a Christian cliche. Smack my hand right now. Oh, smack it.
I've been looking forward to doing
that. I can't
believe
I just said check your heart. Man.
Oh, so you have a problem with Christian cliches? Because every time you use one now, I'm going to be all over
I
them like a duck on a
hate check your heart. I hate check your heart. That's one of my least, and I just said it.
Oh, now I'm going to say it all the time.
I cannot believe I just did that.
Check your heart on this. No, I would agree. You know, if someone could present a Bible case to me that was strong, that would say, you know, you shouldn't own a gun because it's forbidden in Scripture. It wouldn't be a hard decision for me. I mean, mm-hmm. I want to be right with God, in constitutional rights or not.
Yeah.
I don't think you could make that case, but if you mm-hmm. could, it's on the table.
Yeah.
The other thing, though, I'd like to say to our folks, and maybe Christian nationalism ought to be a future topic, quite frankly, because it's something that I think we need both cautions and explanations and all kinds of things for. But to be able to have this conversation civilly among believers, mm-hmm. I think this is also important. I come from a rural background. Mm-hmm. You come from the Northeast, though not an urban or suburban.
But
there are people in our church who come from, you know, New York City and so forth. I mean, I know people. I've got somebody who lives in my house who, the sight of a gun gives them anxiety.
Mm.
You know, that they just have a problem with mm-hmm. it. So I think we need to be respectful about our dialogue on this issue. It is very easy, particularly for those who come from my background,
mm-hmm.
to kind of develop a cowboy attitude.
Suck it up, buttercup.
Yeah. I'll confess, I used to kind of have this attitude. I used to like take pictures of myself and post them holding my AR-15. And I got to eventually, you know, that's not real wise. And it's not appropriate, particularly in my role. But we don't flaunt our freedoms. We just possess them. Mm-hmm. And so I would say at the same time, if you're a person who believes that all guns are evil and wrong and they all should be destroyed and beaten into plowshares and so forth, I would just simply say, understand that there are other people in this culture who are good people who love Jesus and love truth and mm-hmm. so forth, who feel very strongly about the right to bear arms, not just for self-protection and not just for hunting, but also to stand against the government. Mm-hmm. And there's a bigger argument that comes to the issue is, you know, was the American Revolution of God? Because I don't think you can separate the, should we have rights mm-hmm. at this level, we go back to the origin of our rights in this nation.
Right.
So that's a broader conversation. So in that, I would just really, really urge our folks to have civil conversations about it and to avoid the cliches and avoid the reactionary nature of, well, they'll get that gun out of my cold dead fingers and so forth. So and again, those are words I probably uttered at some point in my life.
But I do think I do think it would be good to have conversations. I mean, listen, the first time I shot a firearm was when I went to go visit my my girlfriend's parents, which was Liz, my wife. Her dad was a sniper in Vietnam, was a part of the Marine Corps rifle team, mm-hmm. member of the NRA. He bought an NRA membership for me because if I was going to be in his family, I was going to be a member of the NRA. Mm-hmm. I never really understood guns until I hung out with him. Mm-hmm. And I understood the love that people have for firearms. And I would just say 99 point whatever percent of people that do love firearms are sane, normal people that that they're not crazy people.
Yeah.
And then the people who are anti-gun doesn't mean that they're flower hippie, you know. I think you
pacifist.
I think you just need to spend time listening and understanding. And the debate that's going on in our nation today, understand that we find ourselves in this critical junction. And I know we're running out of time, but as long as the Christian values and ethics and worldview continue to deteriorate in our nation, there's going to be greater needs for more laws, because people will not be able to govern themselves. I think that's something that we need to be very aware of.
And that's actually a great episode in the future as well, because the bottom line is we cannot create enough laws to govern man's sin nature.
That's right.
It's impossible.
That's right. So. Well, I know, I don't think we got anything accomplished with this, but it was fun to talk about it.
Yeah. So all of our listeners, go and do likewise. And in doing that, please guard your hearts.
No, check your heart.
Oh, check your heart. Check it.
No, please, I'm all for guarding your heart. The Bible says guard your heart, but the Bible never says check your heart. But anyways, okay. Thanks for listening to us at Life Talks. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. Hope to talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well, so leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com, or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.